Welcome to today's New Life Live podcast. Today's podcast is brought to you by you. Your donations make this podcast possible. Please consider donating today using the New Life app, visit newlife.com, or call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Welcome to New Life Live with Steve Arterburn and co-hosts Dr. Henry Cloud, Dr. John Townsend, Dr. Dave Stoop, Dr. Jill Hubbard, Mylon Yurkovich, Dr. Sherry Keffer, Chris Williams, and Dr. Alice Benton. New Life Live is dedicated to bringing you hope and help through practical and biblical solutions for daily living. Our goal is to provide you with wisdom from God's Word for genuine spiritual healing. If you have a question you'd like to ask today, our phone lines are open. Call 1-800-229-3000. That number again is 1-800-229-3000. Now, here's Steve Arterburn.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to New Life Live. It is Steve Arterburn here. Joining me today, two people that know what they're talking about. I mean, you can listen to a lot of radio programs. They don't know what they're talking about. These people do. Mylon Yurkovich. Hey, Mylon.
Hey.
Hey, Mylon.
Good to be with you.
Mylon is the author with his wife Kay of How We Love, and if you haven't seen that second edition and the workbook, you'll want to get that. It really is. It expands everything that they did in the original How We Love. And not only do we know thousands of people whose lives have been transformed because of that book, we also know that entire counseling practices do it differently because of How We Love. It's a great contribution to this world. And then Dr. Sherry Keffer. Hey, Sherry.
Hey,
how are you?
Good. Good to be with you both.
If you're watching, you're watching me hold up Intimate Deception. It's all about sexual betrayal, which requires healing those wounds. And it's not just a sexual healing. It's an emotional, it's a physical healing. It many times it's a mental healing. It's a healing of the soul. And it's Intimate Deception. And it's all about especially a woman living with a man who is portraying himself to be a loving, caring, intimate person, but he betrays her in an intimate way, and so much hurts us in life. But this kind of sexual betrayal, Sherry, you've been through it. It hurts in a different way, a deeper way.
Yeah, it hurts us to our core, and it actually scrambles what we think about ourselves. I talk to women a lot that say, I used to like how I looked, or I used to think I was a pretty good person. But when you see that your husband or loved one has been looking at porn, immediately something changes. All of a sudden, you don't feel like you're good enough. You don't feel like you're lovely enough. And that's not the truth. It's just these lies. I call them negative Nellies, Neggy Nellies. And in my book, there's something called a 180-degree turnaround that helps you take whatever your nagging Neggy is and write it down and turn it around. Because we've got to get into truth-telling after we've been betrayed. So it's for every woman that has a wound that needs to be healed from some kind of sexual deception.
Well, I would imagine, Mylon, that you could support me in this. I don't know. I'll just throw it out there. But the evidence that a woman's attractiveness has nothing to do with the man's problem is evidence, and so often we see the sex addict or the person who's just struggling with lust, they have the most beautiful wives of all. And if you'd compare yourself, you go, well, wow, no wonder. And it really has nothing to do with your attractiveness or beauty, because they're evidence that, well, obviously the attractiveness and the beauty of their wives didn't deter them. It's a core heart issue. Mylon and I both have had to make the decision to go against, I think, Mylon, you're the one that uses the word best, proclivities toward lustful things.
Yes, we all have propensities toward moving in the wrong direction. The Bible says the flesh is wayward, it wants to turn the wrong way. You take and you couple that with testosterone, which is a part of the flesh, and then you take the fact that men are visually stimulated sexually, and the average male does not know what to do and how to control all that. And that's a part of our sanctification journey as men, learning to control that piece of our lives.
But for many men, it never ever starts. Whether it does or not, when you read this book, Intimate Deception, motivates him. You can get it with a gift of any amount at 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
At New Life, we are passionate about helping people experience recovery. And it's no exception when it comes to recovery from the addiction to drugs or alcohol. We are very grateful to have found what we believe is the premier facility to offer a Christian 12-step model of care. It treats the whole person and offers biblical values as the foundation for treating the mind, body, and spirit. Our partner in drug and alcohol addiction provides exemplary medical and psychiatric care, as well as Christian-based psychotherapy, pastoral counseling, biblical studies and meditation, educational groups, worship and prayer, and a Christian 12-step program. The approach is non-denominational and guides the patient to experience freedom through a renewed relationship with Jesus Christ. Call us today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE if you or someone you love is struggling with drug or alcohol addiction. That's 1-800-639-5433 or go to newlife.com. 1-800-NEW-LIFE, 1-800-639-5433. To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
We're back. Let's talk with Jen, Chestnut Hill, Pennsylvania. WBYN is the station. What a great station you listen to there. How can we help today?
Thanks. Hi. Thanks for taking my call. I'm a little nervous. I called you guys before about my husband with the past of the pornography, the strip clubs, and things like that while he was away in school. Well, just something recent just happened. I watched our four-year-old daughter's friends so her mom can go to work during the snowstorm. And, you know, she came late. And, you know, my husband had a couple drinks. She had a couple drinks. I was upstairs with the baby. And he made a pass at her. But that day as well, that day, we were both home from work, and he went to take a nap and I went to go upstairs because we had something happen in our backyard because of the storm and the door was locked. So I know he was up there watching porn. Mm-hmm. Now, I had he didn't say anything to me the whole next day. And then I had a dream that something happened. I think it was probably my intuition, just like my subconscious mind, like playing into that. I'm not a doctor, but from the past. And, so I asked her about it and she did tell me that, you know, mm-hmm. he did try.
So what did you say to him? What have you said to him about all of this?
I told him to leave. I said, you know, how could you do that? So he did. He left for the night. He stayed in a hotel. He now is saying how sorry he was. He said nothing happened. He's like, I got myself together. Now he's saying he wants to go to counseling. He wants to fix what is in our marriage. He's just been really, he's been a depressed, lonely man because...
So what did he do? So who did he call when he said he wanted to do that? Who did he call for help?
We called somebody. He's not a Christian, but I am. So I called a Christian counselor, and I'm waiting to hear back from him. Mm-hmm. And he said he's more than willing to go.
So what's the question for us then?
The question for you guys is, for one, I don't want to be... Is this something that can heal? I don't know if I also have another question too. Like, we'll go through these periods where everything seems like it's okay, and then something like this will happen. And he said he's never cheated on me, but like he'll say weird things. Like
he has cheated on you. He cheated on you. If he had had a willing partner there, that would have been the beginning of a relationship.
Yeah.
I don't think you don't just make a pass at somebody because you find it fascinating to kiss them. You want to be unfaithful with them. And it starts by seeing if they're willing to do that. Let me talk. Sherry, take over here and talk with her about this. I mean, I don't think she has a realistic picture of what's really going on with her husband.
I want to know.
Well, you just had, it was a lovely aha moment. You just went, with what Steve said, as if you hadn't considered that before. That,
I have it.
Yeah.
I never thought of it that way.
Uh-huh. So what Steve was saying, which is so true, is it doesn't sound like your husband has really been taking his sexual objectification of women seriously. And it doesn't sound like he's been guarding his eyes, his heart, or you, or your daughter for that matter. And so it kind of grows underground. And I have this thing in my book, Intimate Deception. I have one of the sections, I show a cycle of sexual acting out. And it sounds similar to what you guys have experienced. It's like all of a sudden there's some emotions, there's a triggering event, then they act out, and then they go into this, they feel bad. After they act out, they feel bad, and then they go into this place that they tell themselves, I can do this, I've got this. And they lull themselves back into denial about the fact that they have a problem.
Okay, because he's been so, like, I love you so much. I when I was out of the house, I realized I couldn't live a day without you guys. Like, it was nothing. It was just, you know, I brought myself out of it. And
exactly.
And so I am willing, given all this and how I betrayed you while you were in the house with a friend, I'm willing to take out an hour a week. It's ridiculous. That's not how you respond to something. And here's what I could almost guarantee you if I could do heart surgery on him. He feels horrible about getting caught and being out of control and being one down and not the one that's one up here. Because he objectifies women the way he does. He doesn't see women as real people. He sees them as objects, as things. And he doesn't want to be under a woman. And so he's got to get back on top. So he promises you that he's willing to make the ultimate sacrifice. If you find a counselor, he'll show up for an hour a week. That is not remorse. That is not repentance. That is a guy trying to get back where he was. I mean, if he was serious, he would say, honey, what do I need to do? Oh my goodness, I've got to get this fixed. I had no idea. He was up looking at pornography. He's kissing your best friend. And he's saying, I don't really have that bad a problem. I've never been unfaithful. He is unfaithful this very second. Mylon, your thoughts?
Jen, this is kind of taking your breath away, isn't it?
Yeah.
Okay, I want you to know I hear that. I want you to hear that.
Yeah.
I want you to think about something, Jen. I want you to take a deep breath, and we're here for you. And I just want you to hear a couple of quick things. When you said earlier things are seemingly going along okay, well, that's a time that all couples need to assume things aren't going okay. We need to talk daily to find out what's inside each other. And so the assumption of many gals is things are going okay, but they never stop and ask their husband, so what does go on inside? What do you think about? And they never have dialogues with the husbands along this line. I think your husband is minimizing here, clearly. But I think he may have meant what he said, that he really, it scared him. He spent the night away. But you need to hold the pedal to the metal and not let up. You need to really push down hard on the gas pedal and require some things of him. I'm also interested, Jen, when you said that your husband was lonely and depressed. What did that mean?
Well, because he ends up falling asleep on the couch sometimes, and I'm upstairs. Sometimes I fall asleep with the kids because I get them to bed. I read them stories, and then I end up falling asleep. And he graduated from medical school not too long ago, and it's not working out the way he wanted to. So he said he's really stressed out financially, and he's you know, and then I was mean to him that day of the snowstorm, and he said he's not excusing his behavior, but I just, you know.
Okay, well, marriage counseling is going to be great for you guys to get you onto a track. If this marriage counselor knows how to get you guys talking, that's going to be a good thing. But it's important for you to remember as a couple that you were married before you had children, and how do we maintain the intimacy of conversation, of intellectual intimacy, emotional intimacy, and those are all the prerequisites to great sexual intimacy. And we can't forget that either. But even if you were doing your world's worst, he is still never excused to do the wrong thing. But I just want you to stop and really think, we have to stay connected and learn to practice a lifestyle of connection our entire lives. And I need you to really realize you need to check in with him more frequently than you're doing.
Okay. Okay. Like, how would you, because I ask him, I'm like, what's going on, you know, and he's like, stop interrogating me. And I'm like, I'm just asking how your day is.
Well, that tells me something about him, that he isn't easy to talk with. And that's why, you know, money aside, you guys in Chestnut Hill, Pennsylvania, need to come to that Washington, D.C. intimacy workshop in July. He needs to learn to listen to you, and he needs to learn for you to listen to him.
And I would love you right now, Mylan says, pedal to the metal. I actually, when he's in this place of feeling sorry he got caught, I think you need to ask him to go to Every Man's Battle.
Mm-hmm.
Because this is the deal. If there is sexual acting out that's going on, he's looking at porn, he made a pass at your daughter's friend, mom, it's hard to be intimate when there's this big elephant between us. We can't even touch arms. We can't even touch hands. For me, there was an intimacy disorder underneath that was keeping both my former husband and I away from each other. When I hear things like couples go to bed at different times, there's those things. It's like, oh, they're both disconnecting in a way that keeps them both safe. But I'm like, if your heart is still wounded over the porn and strip clubs in the past, as women, we can feel unsafe and not really want to be with them sexually. And actually, you have a good reason right now to hold back because you don't know what he's been doing, right? You need to clarify that. But for him, if he's got a sexual intimacy issue, he's looking at porn and stuff to keep unconsciously, it keeps him away from you because you can't be intimate when you're looking at other women.
That's right.
So there's this both and going on there. And I'm glad you guys are going to get help. But I would say right now why he's open, get him in to Every Man's Battle.
Okay. And I got one more thing. You got me going here, Sherry. Jen, I know we're overwhelming you here, but Steve said something 5 minutes ago about him being in the up position, over-under positions here, and where, as a physician, he's always going to be in the up position.
So true.
Everybody does what he says, and he's surrounded by people that look to him to be able to, and he's used to giving direction and have everybody look up at him. And so, again, hospitals, clinics, everything. This is a culture. If he doesn't learn not to objectify females, he's going to be in a world where he's surrounded by females in the down position. He's in the up position, and it's the ultimate place to objectify people, you see. I mean, people ask, how many surgeons does it take to change a light bulb? Well, just one, but the whole room has to rotate around him, you know, to make that happen. That was a joke. It wasn't delivered.
It was close.
I guess
it was close to being funny.
But the point is they're used to the world revolving around them instead of them humbling themselves to take the lower position.
Can I just ask like one thing? I know you guys don't have a lot of time, but this has also been haunting me. One time we went to a wedding, and he's done things where I think I know the answer to this, though. He's asked the Uber driver, does he want to come in and see like me naked, like when he's been drinking. And then one time he said when he would, and this is how I know he must have been working with someone he was attracted to, because he came home and he's like, you know, did you ever think about having a threesome, which I've been abused sexually as a child. I'm totally against any of that crap. And he knows this, and he's like, you know, sex is a mechanical act. Like, what does that mean when someone says that sex is a mechanical act? Because let me tell you
what I sense.
My
here.
My heart's beating.
Yeah.
Can you see it?
Well, go ahead, Sherry.
Well, he's in deep, girl.
Yeah.
What you're
really,
seeing.
Really, really deep.
You know what? I tell women, I go, you look at their behaviors. Don't trust their words. He's in deep.
Mm-hmm.
He has a serious issue that hasn't been addressed. And I'm glad you're seeing the signs. I'm glad you're seeing the symptoms. But it is counseling 1 week alone. Steve was right. It's not enough. He's even got what I would say is probably a dual diagnosis, because he's got an alcohol problem that is he's drinking and he's sexually acting out in some capacity. So he needs help. He needs help. And you're the one that's going to get him there.
Look, I'll send this book, but you need help too, because from your past and the way he's treated you, you're questioning your intuition. Just him asking you about a threesome should have caused you to say, go live somewhere else.
The Take Your Life Back workshop is coming to Orange County, California, March 16th through the 18th.
This weekend has been a chance to honestly share my feelings and to begin ownership of them. I learned how to stand up for myself. I experienced positive feelings that I hadn't experienced before.
Steve Arterburn and Dr. Dave Stoop will teach you how to take charge of your past and your current circumstances so you can look forward with confidence and faith to the road ahead.
This weekend has been just the beginning of taking my life back. I leave with a renewed power to trust in God on a daily basis, a commitment to move forward in my recovery by continually taking my life back.
It's time to take your life back. To register or to find out more, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433 or online at newlife.com.
If you really want to take your life back, then I would highly recommend it.
1-800-NEW-LIFE.
Hi, this is Steve Arterburn, and for 30 years, New Life has been the most trusted name in Christian counseling.
Your ministry has saved my life.
If you struggle with emotional hurt, family or marriage problems, the pit of depression, or the pain of addictions, we can help.
I'm down 100 pounds now from what I was.
You guys are awesome. You are a blessing to America.
Our treatment programs provide clinically appropriate solutions from licensed professionals, all in a biblical framework.
I have had problems with alcohol. I think God has ordained this place to be His.
You don't have to be a prisoner of your pain. Help is available at 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
She tells me that I'm a new man, and I feel like a new man.
It worked for me, and it can work for them too.
This time it is different.
If you're ready to take the first step toward genuine spiritual and emotional healing, please call us today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. God can open the door to a better tomorrow right now. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. New Life. That's 1-800-639-5433.
We'd love to hear from you. If you have a question or a comment, call toll-free 1-800-229-3000. Now back to New Life Live.
All right. We are back. Well, you know, it's so easy for us to hear and sense and feel when someone is in some form of denial, unless it's us. And then we, you know, there's so many things that we're blind to. But at the break there, Mylon said, you know, we have to get her to take your life back, because you want to take your life back from not seeing the reality.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel for this woman whose husband would say to her, would you think about a threesome? And he would think that that'd be okay to ask her that question.
And then he says sex is just a mechanical act, like there's no emotional or moral or spiritual component to any of this, you know?
And when you objectify women, it is a mechanical act
because
exactly you're doing
right.
it with a thing,
right.
not a person.
Person.
And if I were her, I would say to him, you need to get some very severe help, and until you do, you don't live here. I don't even know who you are. I've never known who you are. It's just coming into focus right now. We don't have a marriage. You're hitting on my friend. Oh, my gosh. How embarrassing. In our own home.
Yeah.
How humiliating. You're asking a Uber driver to come into the home.
And see you naked.
Oh,
just
my goodness.
So off the charts.
So he has great potential to heal. But until he does, you need to take a stand in honor of yourself, in honor of all women. All right, let's go to Susan, Pensacola, Florida. She listens on the podcast. Hi, Susan. Welcome. How you doing?
Hi. Thank you for taking my call.
Sure. What's going on?
Hi. I have a question. My question is, how do I grieve my infertility in a healthy way, even while in the very thick of the exciting adoption process?
Okay. All right. What does it mean? What does the infertility mean to you?
Well, my husband and I, we, found out a bit ago that we would never be able to have our own biological children.
Oh, mm-hmm. I'm sorry to hear that, Susan.
It's rough. Hmm. Yeah.
Thank you. And I never thought it would matter. I was adopted when I was 7 years old, along with my brother and sister. And so adoption has always been a very beautiful thing in my family. But so it took me off guard when I discovered the news that I wouldn't be able to carry my own child. And so last year we started the adoption process, and we're in the thick of it, and we're thrilled and excited. But I, from time to time, I get caught up in moments of sadness. Usually, when I'm looking at, pictures of my nieces, so I feel guilty about feeling sad because I know God is providing us a child just in a different way.
Uh-huh.
And so I feel as if I'm not thankful for he providing this to us.
Okay. Well, you ask a great question because, see, you know everything. You know God's providing you with a child. You know all of the things that you know. But I really do think until you fully grieve the loss of being able to have a biological child, you're not really free in going forward. And you don't want the adopted child to have an agenda of replacing the child you can never have biologically. You want to grieve all that and then welcome mm-hmm. the adopted child in, who will become just as if she were or he is flesh and blood. Sherry, you have a thought on this? You're a woman. What do you think?
So, Susan, I have a question. I'm wondering if you have ever grieved your own birth story. I'm wondering if you've ever grieved the loss that's in your own story about your biological parents. And the reason I'm asking that is it almost feels to me like, I guess that there's a part of you that's trying to hold the sad down. And if you let the sad out over this, there might be some sadder, bigger stuff behind it. And because it feels like as soon as you start to feel that, you pull it away and try to tell yourself, I need to be okay because life is good. And sometimes adoptees, when they get into a new home, that can be a part of their story. It's like, well, you're here. We chose you. We love you. We want you. And you kind of feel like you have to clean up this loss. But I think you might have some loss to do, not only for your child that you can't have yourself, but for your past. What do you think?
No, I agree with you. And I've been going to a therapist for the last couple of years. And I'm working through that because, you really hit the nail on the head. I did have to deal with that, face it.
Yeah, and it's a hard thing to face. Because we've got to get into that guttural, guttural sad. Not just sad mm-hmm. that we talk about, but feeling sad. I'm mm-hmm. with you. Because of my past and having been married to a sex addict, we chose not to have kids. And so mm-hmm. I too can't have my own kids. And there's times even today that I cry about that. And you know what? It's okay to just let those tears rip.
All right, we'll be back after this.
My story includes multiple physical and emotional affairs.
Every day, men struggle with sexual integrity. Impure thoughts, strip clubs, pornography.
My wife found out that I had betrayed her. She insisted that I would go to the everyman's battle. I had some idea, perhaps, of what to expect, but I had no idea that it would have the impact on me that it did. There's just something about the way that you meet in a large group and then the smaller breakout groups. And the sharing is just something that I've never experienced before.
To register or to find out more, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433 or log on to newlife.com.
This is the first time in my life that I ever felt comfortable in sharing the real me with other men. In my mind, it is one of the most critical things that a guy can do in his recovery.
1-800-NEW-LIFE.
You know, one of the great things about TV.NewLife.com is some people will never read a little chapter of a book, but you can put a video in front of them and say, "Hey, honey, watch this with me." And they'll sit down and they'll watch that 5-minute clip. And that 5-minute clip may change their lives forever and, of course, may change yours. Here's what one of our viewers on New Life Television said.
We looked at the budget. We decided, you know, I'm not getting those benefits from Netflix. So we canceled Netflix and subscribe to the good stuff.
If you have a problem, we have a program to match that problem, and it's going to provide you hope, help, and healing. You know, I don't know what you're waiting for. You will never find a better value than all of the transforming content that you'll find at tv.newlife.com. Your life will never be the same. We really are proud to be part of tv.newlife.com.
Glad you joined us for New Life Live. To be a part of the program, call 1-800-229-3000. Now back to New Life Live.
All right, we're talking with Susan and infertility. It's very, very tough. Went through it 7 years before adopting Madeline, and now at 27. This is one of the greatest blessings of my life. And
That's your story, right?
Yeah, mm-hmm, and I want her to be able to feel it fully. Mylon, you have a thought on this?
Well, Susan, are you still with us, Susan?
Oh, yes.
Okay, good. I was heading down the same path as Sherry. Independently, I was going to ask you, when do you think you shut your emotions down? Because you feel very much left brain in your presentation of everything. You feel head sad, but you don't feel this gut sad that Sherry was talking about. And to me, what I would want to see is that, and I have no idea what kind of therapy you've been in for 2 years, but I'm wondering, it does not sound like there's been a lot of emotion involved. And what I'm trying to suggest here, and Sherry's suggesting, is to find a place of grief recovery, and really face your own grief of your own loss will allow you to be able to empathize and be able to feel the very question that you're asking, to grieve your infertility, and to be able to also appropriately connect with the grief of the child you're adopting, because for them, they're facing loss too. Adoption, you mm-hmm. said, was a beautiful thing. It's not always beautiful. Some days it's very stormy and cloudy, and it's very painful. So while it may mm-hmm. be philosophically a beautiful thing, practically for that child, they're going to have to learn to cry too. And if you can't mm-hmm. cry, that's going to inhibit your ability to welcome their emotions and invite a whole world of emotion to come out of them.
Okay.
Well,
okay.
I'm hoping that you might say to your counselor, I think I need to get a little deeper here before we do have a baby show up. And I think I need to go do some grief work here. I think it would benefit you greatly, not only on my infertility now, but as we're saying here, on the past, on the story of the past. I think it could really be of help. I'll send Take Your Life Back to you. And I think that's going to help you deal with some of the stuff that you're struggling with right now.
Now, we love Susan's call because I think this speaks to a lot of our listeners. That if we're not in touch with our full range of emotions, what are we going to pass on to our friends? And how are we going to do the one another's of scripture? And how are we going to help our children instead of wanting to shut them down to let them open up with their emotions? So,
yeah, that's right. Well, I don't want to shut down a great opportunity to talk to Larry Sonnenberg.
Because here he is.
Larry, how you doing?
Doing good, thanks.
Haven't seen you since last week there in Dallas.
Yeah.
Talk to us today. What are you thinking?
Well, I'm still a little bit I'm a little bit on a high about Club New Life.
That's because there's something to be excited about.
It's pretty exciting. And I want to make sure I do this properly.
Okay. Well, we'll give you all the space.
I'm giving Mylan a hard time.
I'm glad you are.
Club New Life, it's being reintroduced. It's something really special because it's the base of support that we get month in and month out. Mm-hmm. And as you can imagine, every year, expenses don't stay the same. You know, the cost of doing things goes up. And we'd like to keep ahead of that. Mm-hmm. We want the pace of the income to exceed the pace of expenses going up. So part of what we're doing in reintroducing Club New Life is adding benefits, making it more better reasons, more attractive to folks who maybe have been thinking about it, weren't sure they really want to do this. And we're also doing it on our 30th anniversary year for $30 a month. And we just expect and hope that folks are going to respond in a big way. The few beautiful things about it, there's too much little details about different levels of the club that I don't want to take time to go into. But the thank you gift for joining is well worth it. It's all 8 books in the Arterburn Wellness series. And those are the books, just if you've maybe heard us talk about that, it's all understanding and loving a person with, and there's 8 different issues that we talk about. So you'll get every one of those books. They're not all out at once, but you'll get all of those books through the year. The other thing that we're adding that's new, brand new, is a video library for Club New Life members only. You're part of Club New Life. You're giving $30 or more a month, and you're going to get access to a brand new video library. We have been producing videos here the last several weeks, and they are videos from our radio hosts, from Steve Arterburn, from counselors, that New Life Network counselors.
Mylan and Kay did some great things.
They did the other day. Yeah, on the Comfort Circle. And so it's just a really valuable tool. And we'll be adding videos to that every week. We're going to be adding more and more videos. And before you know it, there's going to be hundreds and thousands of videos in there. So we're looking forward to that. There's other benefits that are available. Call us at 800-NEW-LIFE. Tell them you want to know about the new Club New Life. And please join up. It's going to make a big difference. And, you know, giving does something to the giver. And I hope that it does something to you. We always say we don't want you to give unless you can do so cheerfully. And we don't want you to give if it's us twisting your arm. We want you to give because you believe in what we do at New Life. And what we do here is help people understand God and how He is a God of second chances, a God of redemption, a God of healing. And if that gets you excited like it does us, please help us by joining Club New Life.
Well, I hope that you will. And, you know, Larry said we want to pay our bills and move forward and do other things. But I got quite frankly, we have a big payable that is there. And part of going to Club New Life, it enables us to secure that and pay that down and get rid of it. That's what we want to do. You can help us by calling 1-800-NEW-LIFE, and you will be in a club that has more benefits than it has sacrifices, I guarantee.
Well, you know, it's funny, as you were talking, I kept thinking about the airlines and how they do this all the time, right? You wait in line, and then they let the platinum people go, and the emerald, and the ruby. And so I was traveling one time to a New Life weekend, and I was standing, and Dr. Stoop was near me. Well, he travels all over the place, so he has this little executive pass, So he said, well, you want to come up with me and sit in the executive room? I went up there. There was like food and water. And I thought, this is why you do what you do. So Club New Life has just been added a bunch of bonuses that others can't get. And it's just another way of saying we care about you.
And it's a way of saying,
we have more. We have more.
Yeah, it's a way of saying thank you.
I'm in the recycled aluminum group is who I'm in. And in the recycled plastic group, you know. So.
But it's all a way of saying places. Thank you.
Yeah, it is.
It really is. Thank you, Larry. Alrighty. Appreciate that. 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Come
good
join
job,
us
Larry.
On our 30th anniversary right now. Let's go to John Farmersville, Texas. Hey, John, how you doing? How's it going?
I'm okay. Let me get to a place where I can talk a bit more clear real quick.
Okay.
Okay. Well, what the deal is, I appreciate y'all taking time out for my call here.
Sure.
You know, everything that y'all have talked about, I mean, guys that have been messed up sexually and everything else, I'm definitely that, and I guarantee you, me and my wife came together that way. And the bottom line is just to, you know, put it to you as complete as I can. You know, I'll just read something to you and just let you kind of take from it what you can and then just let me know what you think about it. The deal is, you know, basically day to day, I've been stuck in the marriage. Lots has happened. When we met, she got pregnant. We got pregnant together, basically. My mom passed in 96. My wife found out about my fetish before we got married. She was okay with it. She indulged me in it eventually. She shut me down on it, which is fine. I totally get that. She shut down eventually, completely, gained lots of weight. When the kids were young, I told her she didn't have to work. But ever since then, for many years, I've been trying to get her to work, and she won't work. Basically, we're just basically, I go to work every day, work, come home, and everything kind of stays the same. The house never really, there's no priorities in the house getting taken care of. I even bought it because she thought things would change if I bought a house for us, and whatever.
Okay. Well, I'm gonna have to interrupt you because we've got to go to a break here. But I think no matter what the details are, you've had problems. She's reacted to those problems, and on your own, you guys haven't been able to pull this back together, and you haven't been able to alter the behavior that would allow you to. So we'll take a break. We're going to come back and give you an answer here. I'm really sorry what you've been through. It is more common than you would ever know. It's so common. And the miserably marrieds that populate the world, you don't have to be. And there's a miracle, I think, for every one of those miserable marriages. We'll tell you about that in a minute.
Hi, this is Steve Arterburn, and for 30 years, New Life has been the most trusted name in Christian counseling.
I'm an addict, and I'm trying to get God in my life again. You seem to be able to get to the crux of a problem quickly.
Our Christ-centered treatment programs can help you break free to embrace all that God has for you and your family.
I just want to thank you guys for bringing me to a relationship with Jesus.
There really is help for marital problems, depression, addictions, panic attacks, and feelings of hopelessness.
I came back with so many tools to help me prepare myself to fight this struggle and this battle that I have every day.
You can start living again today, living the life God intended for you. Help is available at 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
They did care, and they did follow up very lovingly, and it made all the difference in my life.
Call us at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Someone who cares is waiting at the other end of the phone. God can open the door to a better tomorrow right now. Just call us at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. 1-800-639-5433.
Last year after Every Man's Battle, I was so moved by the transformation that I saw, not only in myself, but in the guys in our small group and the other people that were there and the stories that I heard, that I decided to go ahead and join Club New Life as a contributor to that.
You can help New Life Live stay on the air by joining Club New Life today. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433.
You guys are doing God's work here. You're restoring marriages. You're giving people hope. It's just been such a blessing to me, and I just wanted to encourage you all. When you see something good that God's doing, just jump on that and help support that.
Support Club New Life, and together we can help hurting people find help and hope in life's hardest places. Call 1-800-639-5433.
Give your support to them if you can, and just help them do what God's doing here in the world.
Call 1-800-639-5433 to join Club New Life today. To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
We are back. All right, we're talking to John here, and we've been talking at the break here. John Milan, start us off here with John. What are you thinking?
Well, first of all, John, wherever you went to talk to us is echoing, and it's not a good location to hear you well. And that doesn't work well either. So
it's got worse.
I'm just saying. John, can you hear me, by the way?
Yes, I can hear
okay.
you. Do I sound any more clear?
That's better right there. Okay, so really, okay. I love the fact that you're able to self-report that there were sexual distortions right from the very beginning in your relationship. But what happens yes. is that ultimately what that means is these sexual distortions and things that we do mean more to us than the person.
Right.
And so your wife feels that, and she begins to pull away. And it's a very sad place that she's gone. She's turned to food. She's turned to inactivity. She's probably depressed. And I'd like to suggest that you do two things. And I think they're very important.
All right.
Number one, tell her you called the show today. And that okay. you wanted advice on how to turn your relationship around.
Right.
I think if she knows you did something radical like that, that's going to get her attention. And I love, I know you love her. It says that on the call screen. It says that you love her and you want to change. And so I'd like to suggest that you, in Dallas in September, we have a intimacy and marriage workshop in Dallas where we're, I know Texas is a big state. I don't know where Farmersville is, but you and your wife need to come to that. And you need to do stuff prior, but I really want to see you guys at that workshop, and because it would be a turnaround for you guys. And if she feels your leadership in a positive direction, I think that would be a very, very powerful statement to her to hear that you mean business, that you want to change things.
I mean, one of the catches is I work, she doesn't work, and it's always been sort of a paycheck to paycheck type thing.
Okay.
And so we're going to, I'll do what I can. I'll sell
but listen,
equipment or whatever.
Listen, you're the kind of guy that we like to give a scholarship to, a couple that we like to bless with a scholarship if you're willing. Now, the fetish that you have you dealt with that? Are you finished with that? Are you still in the thick of it?
I can tell you this, that, I've been to some counselors in the past about it, and some counselors are like, oh, what's the big deal? No big deal, and I've been to a Christian counselor before, and she was like, just stop it. And I was like, but the bottom line is I'm willing to lay it down to make, to get our life back together.
You need to do whatever it takes. It's not just laying it down, buddy. You lay it down, but stopping a habit or an obsession or a fetish, that doesn't put character into you. You've got to have a program. You've got to have a recovery. I'll send you a Life Recovery Bible. I hope that would help. But if this is a sexual fetish that has hurt you and destroyed some of your normal sexuality, then Every Man's Battle is the place for you to get on the right track. Because these guys, they don't. It doesn't matter what the problem is. It's sustaining.
Can I add in this real quick to you? And it's not, I'm not trying to say it's changing anything of what you're telling me at all, but I just want to add into it too that my wife struggled in the same way with sexually with, you know, porn and things like that, and she's completely stopped. But it also had a, you know, place in her life, so I'm sure it just kind of breaks.
But look at this. But look at her life. It stopped.
It's a mess.
But what did she? But what's happened since? That's not recovery.
No.
So let me tell you about.
No, I agree.
So in my book, Intimate Deception: Healing the Wounds of Sexual Betrayal, I have a couple that sounds very much like you. The woman's name was Linda. And she and her husband were using porn before they were married. What happened is, because they were sharing it, eventually over time, what she did to please him became poison because she began to feel objectified. Mm-hmm. And so little by little, she started shrinking and pulling back and changing because she felt like she betrayed herself. She felt like she was dishonoring herself. And I can hear in your wife's story that she doesn't feel safe yet with you. And even though you both started with it, it's been toxic. What was pleasing in the beginning has been poison. It's poison now for you guys. And it's got to stop. And so, but I get the idea of you've been doing something 20 years and someone says, just stop it. It's not that easy. I wish it was, but it isn't. So I think in the repair, her weight is basically a way she's trying to protect herself from you because she doesn't know what else to do to get safe.
Sure, yeah, we've been in a mess for quite a while.
And yeah,
I have, you know, contemplated many times of leaving, but for some reason God has held us together, and we're, you know, we're two broken people that. We both feel like we could have something much more different, but, you know, we keep thinking, you know, God can make it all change. He can bring us back to, you know, something we never thought we could have.
I believe
but
that.
Yet we're still, yeah, and we're still.
Well, but he doesn't do that. It. He doesn't do that if we don't do something. You see, he creates miracles when we move, and it's called the moving miracles, called obedience.
That's right. And it's called not waiting for God to do what God is waiting for you
to do.
And I've told the story many times, the guy saying, I'd raise my hand up and surrender my sexual addiction every day, and it just kept coming back. And I said, raise your hand up and put it on the steering wheel of a car and drive to a meeting and tell people, I got a problem. You standing there in the isolation of your bedroom with your hand up, that's not going to get you anywhere. I'm really glad you called. I think this could be the beginning of a major, major overhaul in everything in your relationship, and I hope and pray that that's what it's going to be.
Hey, Steve, can I send her a copy of my book? Would you mind?
Oh, absolutely. She needs it.
I do. Yeah. Thank you.
And then I'm
going to
send him. I'll send him Every Man's Battle because, look, I don't care what it is. Sexual purity, it's a standard. It's purity, and it doesn't matter what it is that you were using to veer away from that standard. Will help you get over it. Tomorrow is Take Your Life Back in Orange County, California, and you could still get in, and it could change everything for you. It has done that for so many people. I think the book's in its sixth or seventh printing now. It's just amazing to see the impact of it. But for 48 hours, we can help you take your life back from whomever or whatever has it and owns it. Then Intimacy and Marriage is July the 20th. Every Man's Battle is April the 6th. Restore Hope for a Woman's Heart. But you know what? Just call us if you got a problem. We'll tell you, you need a workshop or you don't. You need a book or not. You need a counselor or not. We'll help you find the resource that best fits you. We've been doing it for 30 years. Now, you could honor that 30 years with a $30 contribution $30 to join Club New Life, and we'll send you $120 worth of books, and we'll give you access to our new video library and so many other things, our way of saying thank you. But a gift of any amount, and we send you this fantastic brand new book, Dr. Sherry Keffer, Intimate Deception, Healing the Wounds of Sexual Betrayal. A gift of any amount, and you get a book with the amount of healing in here is also limitless. Call us 1-800-NEW-LIFE. And we'll see you next time, right here on New Life Live.
Thanks for listening. We hope this program has helped you by giving you insights for handling the challenges you face in your life. We want you to know that we're here for you, but you also need to know that New Life Live is a listener-supported ministry. To make your donation or to get any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433, or write to us at New Life Ministries, P.O. Box 1029, Lake Forest, California, 92609. Please join us again tomorrow for New Life Live. Today's podcast can be downloaded through iTunes or streamed through your mobile device using the New Life app. Visit newlife.com to download the app today.